Good morning. Good morning. I always love it when it comes on the screen. Here we go. Yes. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be here. It's good for God to be in this place. So we've prayed this morning. As you could see, we were praying as you came in. We've prayed for every little nook and cranny is filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, that there will be no nooks and crannies where outside influencers can get in. That it's just, we're just praising Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and our Father God. So it's good to be here to share this time together between us and God. It's good that you're on the other side of that screen. We welcome you with the same welcome this morning. But for this space, for your home space, wherever you are watching. But more importantly, Christ has welcomed you this morning. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come through this door, or you wouldn't have switched on your screen. So we thank you that you're here, and we're praying that we encounter God this morning. Amen. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
Ooh.
Too close there, love. I know John's already welcomed you, but I can't resist putting my two penneth in. So another warm welcome to everybody who's joined us this morning, and of course to everyone watching on YouTube. It's really good to be together. Thank you for the amazing worship this morning, for the worship team. An excellent start, as always, to our time together. I don't know about you, but I think this place is buzzing this morning. I get a little bit of a tingle. And as we were praying earlier, we invited the Holy Spirit to come. And I think he's definitely turned up this morning. So it's good. And I'm sure the Lord will be really looking down and smiling on us as we've been praising his name this morning. It's a lovely picture, I think, isn't it? So now, just a few notices for the week. David will be speaking to us shortly, and we will be taking communion later on this morning. This afternoon, prospects will be meeting down here at church at 3 o'clock. And this evening, the leadership team will be meeting to pray at 6. So if you could just remember as we do that, please. Tomorrow, the ladies' meeting down here at 1:30. On Tuesday, the art playgroup will be meeting from 10 to 11:30. And then again in the afternoon from 1 o'clock until 2. Wednesday, we have the prayer walk. Meet again at the top of the chase at 10 o'clock, and usually walk for about an hour. And on Thursday, the 25th, we have the lunch club, as we've been doing every Thursday for a while now, which is a really lovely time to come and just have a sandwich and chat. And that's, we usually start eating just after 12, so until about 2. And then on Thursday evening, the trustees are meeting. We're having a busy week this week, aren't we? Yeah, at 7:30. So again, if you could please just remember in your prayers as we discuss business and all sorts of stuff. The website, Facebook page are all regularly updated. And of course, if you need anything, please do get in touch in any way, or just give us a call or something. This is a bit random, but that's how we are. There's a couple of toasters in the schoolroom. They're quite the big ones, but we don't need them anymore. So if anyone wants to take them to use them, please do. If you want to speak to George about them, he kind of knows about them. But they're the bigger ones, so we don't want to get rid of them if someone else can use them. So that's they're in the kitchen right there. And a very big thank you from Jan for donations. She was part of a tap show. She's really good, you know. You want to try and have a look at her. they do it every year, and they raise an amazing amount of money. £5,000? For Rotherham Hospice. So that has been in. And she just wants to thank everyone that's for the donations, either they've given it or online. Thank you.
But I want to look this morning at wrapping this series up on unity. We've been looking over the past few weeks at various parts of what we would say Scripture is saying to us about unity through various things. You recall that we looked back at some of our previous series. We looked back at gaining confidence, what we do when our prayers are unanswered. What's it look like through life, the lens of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And what is the angel of the Church of Swallow Nest saying to us? what is. Not what was or what did or when, or but what is, because the angel still speaks. And we need to be open to that. We need to be open to Holy Spirit. We need to be open to hearing what the angel, the swallow nest, is saying to us, and how we can be effective witnesses, disciples, that will just simply go and share the gospel of Christ. That's what we're in the business of when we look at it. And we identified that by marks of a healthy church, because all too often, unfortunately, we hear of unhealthy churches, where we hear of toxic behaviours and way people treat one another within and without, within the community. You've only got to look in the news again this last few weeks. I've read four different stories of where churches, big structures, have tainted the name of Christianity, have tainted the name of Jesus because of the inbreeding, if you like, of that toxic behaviour. Of those people that think that they can just do what they want because they think it's their church and they will bully and control. But they forget it's not their church, it's God's. We hold fast to that. And we've been saying that a lot, and we need to hold fast to it, need to be open to it, and we need to see where we are in the unity with and one another in the love of Christ. And yet again, as I say, this series on unity was designed to enable us to look where we've come from, all the good work that has been done over these years, over what is happening and where we are now, and all what we'll go and see what God is leading us on to next. And so I want to wrap this series up by literally looking back, looking up, and looking forward. This three-third concept is used by Big Life. Big Life is a movement that makes disciples who makes disciples. And they simply, as they gather and open scripture together, look at these very three ways of doing it. They look back at what they've learned, of what they've heard, of what they've read, of what they've seen, and where they've been. They then look up at God and see from what they've learned of God, how they know more of God and what God is saying to them. And then they look forward as to where God is leading next. And we'd use this as part of wrapping this series up. And so, as I say, we want to look back at what we've learned, look up at what God has shown us about this series. What did we find challenging? What does it teach us about God and about people? And then, of course, looking forward, how do we make changes to become more Christ-like, encouraging one another, remaining humble as we seek what is next for us? Some things will continue and develop, we'll strengthen and we'll see growth in that. And some things may need to change. We ourselves may need to change. But ultimately, what is God saying about that? And what do we learn of that? And how do we make that happen in the sign of unity, but also in the sign of God telling us of how and where to go next? And so that's what we'll look at. So let's look back, if you like. You recall, over this series, we look back at our roots. You remember roots of Baptists go back way, way back to the 1600s. Where two guys, Helwys and Smith, exiled to Europe, to Amsterdam in the early 1600s, as they met with Puritans and Congregationalists, because of the fallout. There was the recent printing press, and there was a fallout from the state church and beliefs. And for them and the Puritans and Congregationalists came Scripture as being sole authority, but baptism is for believers. You recall, as we looked back on that, we to here believe that Scripture is our guide and believers' baptism is required. We stand on those principles. The Baptist Union, when that formed way back when and in the early 1900s, created the Declaration of Principle, revised three times, the last being in 1938, which still stands today, is based on those three principles: the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, the fact that baptism is by full immersion into the life of God, and mission. And of course, it expands further into the principles as it goes. But they're the three titles, if you like, the headlines, is that the authority, the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, of baptism by full immersion into the life of God, and mission. Going forth on Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and tell." There's a command there. And if you like, that model is based on Jesus. Jesus is our model. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith that we look to, that we can see, that we can be guided and shown the way of where he's leading us to. You can read Acts 2 as we've looked a little bit at that, and that gives a basis. Luke wrote that account of it being lived out through the disciples. Because here, for the first time, the disciples, in a sense, was there without Jesus. Luke accounted for that. And as you remember, it says there that they met daily and broke bread together and ate together and prayed together and did life together. And so Rob also led us, if you remember, on the second week on unity. And he reflected how overcomplicated faith has become. He reflected how overcomplicated humans had made faith and how messy religion had made faith. He did this as he recounted a family holiday to Rome, and he saw that there was many, many churches. I think he said there was over 900 churches within Rome itself, and how overcomplicated and messy things have become. And he went on to talk about the importance of unity outlined in Scripture, especially in Ephesians 4, where Paul wrote to the church. And if you remember, he said, this is Paul writing, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This calling upon Christ, upon your life, is what he's talking about. And he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. From that passage, he then got us to look at who we are in God. Because at the deepest level of what Paul is trying to say to the church here at that time in Ephesus, and what God is saying to us now, at that deepest level, is revealed as our identity in Christ Jesus. You remember he referred to that BBC programme, Who Do You Think You Are?, where people go on a journey to discover who they are. Well, that's no reason why we can't do that ourselves, to find out who we are in Christ Jesus. What does that relationship look like? Does that look like for us on a daily basis? For ourselves individually in that relationship with God? And what does it look like with us in fellowship with one another? But then what does that look like to an outside world? Where we want to show the love of Christ and want to see his light radiating out into the community to where we serve. Let's just reflect on that for a moment. What does it look like to see our identity in Christ? For those who truly believe and follow Jesus Christ, you'll know without a shadow of a doubt, with absolute certainty, that you are bound into the life, the death and resurrection of Jesus. You will know that he is the one that came to take away the sins of the world, because it is in Christ that we're made alive. It's in Christ that we find that we are strong even though we may be weak. It's in Christ his victories become our victories. His power becomes our power. And in Christ we come to know God, and we have been given a new purpose in life, because we are part of God's great plan, as you remember Rob saying. That brings into unity all things in heaven and on earth through Jesus Christ. For there is no other way, and by no other person, but Christ alone. There's the gospel there. Those that truly believe and follow Christ are in no shadow of a doubt of it. I fully hold to it and believe in that. You'll know then we also looked back at behaviour and discipline. And there were some difficult parts of Scripture with that. And we'll maybe look at that in more detail later on as we go, because I think that's important. We need to allow Holy Spirit to work on our hearts if we are to be more Christ-like. Sometimes, as we said last week, we were blessed to have Joe lead us in a way that resolved conflict. And Joe reminded us of that conflict will happen. But it's how we deal with that in our relationships that matters. Sometimes a relationship maybe never really existed. People never truly get to know one another properly. And so there was ways to resolve. There was ways to help. Sometimes it's true to say relationships may be damaged beyond repair. But how do we move forward? How do we get ourselves right before God? How do we move forward in relationships? Maybe having forgiven, but maybe not forgetting. Leading on in life of where Christ wants us to be, of where God wants us to serve. And so with that, as we look, we've said before, it leads often to separation, and that may be required in order to heal. Joe pointed to when Paul and Barnabas had that big falling out, and they went their separate ways. But there was healing, and there needed to be that separation so that the gospel could be preached out in different places. Now, we're not saying that God created that dispute and that disagreement and that unsettlement and conflict between them, but he used it to his purposes and advantage to go and be able to spread the gospel out into further places. We recall Jo's helpful points. These are her words that she showed us last week as a reminder, a tool for the toolbox, if you like, to be able to bring out in times of need, in times of resolution, that we need to listen with love, not judgment, to listen with open hearts, not closed hearts, to listen wanting to understand rather than persuade. We need to listen without an agenda. We need to listen remembering we may not be right, and we need to listen seeing the other as a beloved of God in whom God delights. Brief overview of the last few weeks, if you like, and I want to encourage you to go back over the services, to reflect on them. What has God been saying to you through them? Go back and read the passages of Scripture. What is it that God is saying to you through His Word? Reflect upon them, meditate upon them, ask Holy Spirit into you to say, reveal what it is you're trying to say. Help me to understand, help me to make clear of what it is that you are saying. What does this look like for us? So, as we look back, often when we look back, we reflect on where we've come from, where we are, and we reflect and ask upon that. So, a couple of minutes, turn to the person next to you or within your area and just reflect back with one another. What has God been saying to you over these last few weeks? Through those different sermons on unity, behavior, discipline, conflict resolution. What has God been saying to you? What have you learned from that, if anything? So reflecting back as we just draw those conversations to a close for a moment then, looking back at what we've had over these last few weeks, what have we learnt of anything? Does anybody want to share with that? What have you learnt over through this service? Listening without judging. Patience. Yeah. Trust.
It can happen to the best of us.
It can happen to the best of us. Yeah.
Keep on forgiving.
Yeah,
and in the end, just put it in God's hands.
Yeah, letting God in more. Keep reflecting over these things, keep asking God, keep praying, keep talking with one another. This is where we draw in our unity. This is where we come together, where we are able to work through things through Holy Spirit. So let's look up then. And this is where sometimes it may become uncomfortable, because sometimes we put God out of the box. We put him in his own little box and only bring him out when we need him. Because sometimes we may be embarrassed by some of our actions, our attitudes, our behaviours that we don't want God to see. But the problem is, as Scripture reminds us, as we know, if you've got your Bibles, turn to page 521, Psalm 139, you'll know these words so well anyway. This serves to us as a reminder. If we truly want to know God more, if we truly want to grow in Christ, and if we truly want to see life overflowing in life of Holy Spirit, then we need to see that we need to open up more. We need to make ourselves vulnerable to God, and from that you can't hide. Psalm 139 reminds us that God knows us, God is with us, and his greatest gift is to allow us to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. David poured out in this psalm, where he says, "Search with me, O God, and know my heart." It says this from verse 1. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit up and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it." Here serves a reminder. "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not night to you, is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is at light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the deeps of in the depths of the earth." In other words, we can't escape God. But neither should we. And why would we want to? Well, we want to when obviously barriers go up. We often do when we feel we've done or maybe said something wrong that is dishonouring to God. And we may only see that dishonouring to God, but if you're dishonouring God, then you're dishonouring the person or the persons that you're saying are doing it to. Are we not? And so why often then do we feel more bad about dishonouring God but not the person? Who, as we're reminded in the previous slides, seeing the other as the beloved of God in whom God delights, whether they know God or not. Because as we're reminded there, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all made, as it says in Genesis, in the image of God, in his image. He created us. And so, as we look up, what is God saying to us? What has God been saying to us through this series? What is it that we liked about the series? So we've just looked at what we learned, but now what did we like about the series? But also what did we find challenging about the series? Again, a couple of minutes to talk amongst and reflect with each other. We've already looked at what we learned, but now we're looking up. What did we like about the series? What did we find challenging? Discuss. So, drawing back together then? Likes, challenges? Nobody liked it, nobody found it challenging?
I think it was very challenging.
Very challenging. You want to expand on that? Can we just come back together and listen to what others are saying?
I think because it's challenging, because it's almost held a mirror up for us to look into. And sometimes when you look into that mirror, you don't like what you see.
Yeah.
So that can be very challenging. But as long as you can put your hand on your heart and say that I have done everything that I possibly can, I lay it down to God and it is now over to God. Always has been over to God, but you have to sometimes go, okay, I'm leaving that with you now at the foot of the cross and I have to move forward. And I think that that can be very, very challenging.
So for those that may not have heard, Julie was saying found it very challenging in the sense that often when we look at this, it's almost like holding a mirror up. And what I will say is that when we hold Scripture, it is holding a mirror up. This is what Jesus does to us. He holds the mirrors up and says, look, take another look, take a deeper look. Look into my word, what does that say to you? And now look at how you may be then reflecting that. How are you being more like me? And so that's a challenge. We don't often like what we sometimes look back at. But that's the challenge that we find. And obviously, as Julie was saying, of the challenges that we face, sometimes the difficulties, how then do we give that to God, but also lay it at the foot of the cross and say, God, I can't deal with this, but you can. And how do we live in that then? Maybe knowing all we've done what we can in a situation, a circumstances, maybe if sometimes we're looking after someone who's quite ill, we want to do nothing but help them as best we can. What happens when it gets to beyond that point? What happens when we're facing disagreements with people? How then do we try in that relationship together to work through it? And like we've said, sometimes we have to go different ways. We've done all we can, and we've said the sorries, and we've prayed, and we've hopefully seen reconciliation, but often, as we said, reconciliation comes in parting. Any of us sharing what we've liked, what we found challenging? Yeah. Okay. So you liked it was challenging, but you knew it was going to be challenging. I guess on that journey, didn't know how challenging it would be, but that God was speaking to those moments that you find challenging, those circumstances, experiences, if you like.
You know, the people's challenges, you know, that you didn't think of.
Yeah. So again, reflective practice is something to really get into if you don't do it. Because it is good to reflect back. You will probably find you naturally do it anyway. When something happens, you think back on it, but you may not see it as that. But if you get more into a habit of doing that, reflecting on what is God saying, what has God been saying to you, as you look back at something, then look up and saying, okay, what was it that I maybe liked, or what is it that I found challenging? How is it that I may need to change, or change a circumstance or an event or situation? But asking all the time, what has God taught you about him? But also, what does it teach you about other people? There lies in the challenges. And so we look forward. What changes do we need to make to be more Christ-like? That might be a challenge there in itself. Now, yes, there will be days when we don't feel like being very Christ-like. But this is what we're called to be. We're reminded from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we're reminded of what Rob said about unity. Unity within church, unity with one another, unity with our community. Because how else do we seek to grow God's kingdom if we're not in that place ourselves? God won't use us. He just bypasses us. But he's called us for a reason. Reminded of what Paul said to the Ephesians. I urge you, therefore, to walk in a manner to which you've been called. And so, change. Be more Christ-like. Encouraging to others. Humbling ourselves in the process. That takes a lot. And sometimes when we do that, others seek advantage over that and sometimes may use people as a doormat or control or bully them. And that's not what we're saying. We're saying that we're to humble ourselves, to be gracious, to journey alongside others in a Christ-like way that we may too just radiate out the light of Christ into their lives. That they would see and be in no doubt of encountering God in that situation, whether they believe or not. I'm sure there's countless testimonies that people can share where they've been in those situations and someone's gone, there's just something different about you. What is it? There is that opportunity to explain of who Jesus Christ is. You remember, Joe recalled that we don't like change, but change happens every day. We change in the morning, maybe from our pajamas into clothes. Or we may change our clothes during the day or whenever. The food changes that we have. I'm sure we don't eat the same meal three times a day every day. But there's changes, holiday destinations. So this change, what she pointed out quite rightly is that we don't like change in church. Churches don't like to change. They get in a rhythm, a routine, if you like, which often sometimes becomes stagnant. And so there needs to be change, because otherwise you'll just remain that way and you go on a downward spiral. We don't like it, but sometimes it's necessary. So what is it to require to see God's kingdom grow out into the community? Maybe that's gathering together, praying into what God is seeking us to do, how we can go about doing that. And so as we look forward, what we will look to do, maybe in early autumn, we haven't set the dates yet, but in early autumn, we'll look together. We'll look together as a fellowship of people around food one day, and we'll talk. We'll talk where we are as a church, a review, if you like, naming who we are and where we stand on certain things. We'll look at various topics, salvation, gospel of Jesus, big questions. How do we journey with those that may identify differently to us? How do we seek to be Christ-like in our community? What does that look like? Well, what it looks like and what it requires is to start gathering, to look at that, to see where we are, to pray about it, pray before we meet, pray as we meet, and pray during we're meeting, and then long after. Why praying so much? Because prayer is quite simply the birthplace of mission. Prayer is the birthplace of mission. Scripture says that from beginning to end, right the way throughout. Prayer is the birthplace of mission. And so if we are to see that we're not a church in decline here at Swallow Nest, but that we're a church that's committed to grow for the kingdom of God and to see the kingdom of God grow out into our community, we need to get real about it. Each and every one of us. Because we know the other side. We know what will happen if we don't. And I don't believe for a minute any of us wants to see that happen. I don't want to believe that it's an inevitable fact that the YBA continue to talk about, Yorkshire Baptist Association, that there's only just under 100 churches in the association at the moment, and within the next 10, 15 years, that'll decline by half. This is a reality that they're talking about, but I don't believe it's a reality for us. Or that the Baptist Union turn around and say the same thing, that across the whole of the UK, the Baptist denomination is in decline. That we're seeing less and less Christ. Not come to church. If you remember, I said, for God so loved the world that he didn't give church attendance, or he didn't give a prayer, but he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because that is the gospel message we need to be taking out to the people that we journey alongside with. To believe that God is in the process of transformation. To believe that when we talk openly and simply sharing the gospel, people will want to come and know Jesus. Whether they come here on a Sunday or not is irrelevant. What is relevant is that they're coming to know Jesus for themselves. That's where we see kingdom growth. That's where we'll see change. That's where we see transformation. Not by our way, but by God's. Why? Because we come in line with him and hear what he's calling us to do and where he's calling us to be in that mission that he's already at work with. It's not the mission that we create, but what he's already started since the world began. Where do we journey in that? What does that look like for us? So we'll meet, we'll discern, we'll talk together. Because if we are to be truly seeing our core values, our three core values that we set out long ago of knowing God, growing in Christ and overflowing in life, what does that simply look like? What does it look like in practice? Talk about it. We'll journey with it. And we'll see and discern what God is calling us to do. Because change has to be inevitable. And if not, then you know the end result of that. Just before I finish and before we have a song and come around the communion table, Just want to say, next week, we look forward to our regional minister, Reverend Dr. Nike Adebejo. She'll be joining us next week. We look forward to what she has to say, and maybe she'll share with us some of the wider stuff that's going on within our association and look forward to what's happening there. The week after that, we're going to be picking up on these core values that we've spoken about and looking at what Scripture says to us through that. What is God saying to us to be able to know Him more, to grow in Christ, and to overflow in life through the Holy Spirit? As we look at that on a daily basis, what does it look like lived out as we share testimony with that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we often may struggle with challenges. We often struggle to know what is the right thing to do. But yet, you made it clear. You've made it clear to us through your word. You've made it clear to us that you know each and everything about us. As your servant David wrote in that psalm, that there is no place to go, because wherever we go, you are there. And Lord, I don't see that as a negative thing. I see that as a comforting, positive thing. That no matter where we go, no matter what we go through, you are there with us. And so, Father God, I pray that we would be more receptive to hearing from you. That we would listen well. Not only to hear of your voice and to know that we are wanting to encounter you on a daily basis, but also that we would listen with one another as well. And as we journey out with those in the community, with those of friends and of family, the places we be, where we are, that you would be with us through all of that, but yet, Lord, we would graciously hear of you to be able to lead the good news to people's lives. That they too would be receptive and that they too would hear. That they would look back at their lives and then look up and see and encounter you, and then look forward to a life firmly fixed in the bonds and peace and the love and unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all made possible by Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the world. So, Lord, we thank you. Help us to reflect upon these series. Help us to reflect upon your word. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, speak into our lives and bring about clarity and about understanding? Know where it is you want us to serve, to live out, and to see your kingdom grow here in this place. Angel of Swallowness, would you continue to talk, lead, and guide us? Show us the way, and may we faithfully, humbly, and sincerely walk in your ways. For your glory, amen. As we gather around his table, reminded that it's not us that invites, but he that invites us. That he prepares a place for each of us to come. Because it's by that truth that has set us free. It's by that relationship that he longs to be with us. It's in this moment we give ourselves again to him. Whatever journey we're on, wherever we are, we must acknowledge that he is Lord and Saviour. We too must also acknowledge that our ways may not be perfect. Our ways may often be tainted through our words, through our deeds. That nothing is hidden. That everything is visible to God. So in this moment, let us take a time in confession to seek to repent of those things that we may say or do. To seek forgiveness of the one who is able to give. The one who, by his grace and mercy, lifts us afresh and forgives us again. So in this moment, in the silence of our hearts, between ourselves individually and God, let us confess those things that we may have said or done. Great is the Lord our God. Lord, your truth has set us free. May we be counted free in you. We lift up those things that we may have said or done. Lord, would you forgive? Would you pour out your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness? May you, Lord, help us by power of Holy Spirit to refrain from doing these things. May we think before we speak. May we think before we act. Lord, may we hear of your love again in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you fan into flame the burning desire to glorify you always, every day. Lord, we want to praise your name. We want to glorify you. We want to thank you that we can be counted at this table, that we are able to eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remembering the great sacrificial work that your Son Jesus Christ did upon that cross at Calvary. We're reminded of that great story that when he came to be in that upper room with the disciples, he there brought in the new covenant. So, Lord, we too this day remember that as we eat of this bread and as we drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord until he comes again and drinks and eats afresh with us anew in eternal glory. Father, we just pour out our thanksgiving to you. Amen. And so, come and receive this bread and this wine. We recall as Jesus took that bread on that night in that upper room, and when he had broke it, had given thanks and broke it, and said that this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me. And in that same way, he took the cup, said that this is the new covenant. This is my blood, which is poured out once and for all. Drink this. Remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord until he comes again. And we give thanks eternally for that great sacrifice. So come, receive the bread, receive the wine. Eat the bread as we receive it. Keep the cup as a sign of our unity to drink together. Receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we lift this cup, from the one cup that we all drink from, to the one body that we all belong to, let us do so in remembrance of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Glorious Heavenly Father, may we truly know that we are set free in your truth, that we are counted as one, just as your Son Jesus showed us that he remains in you, you remain in him, and so you remain in us as we remain in you. Lord, may we be found, nourished, replenished, revitalized, not only physically, but spiritually as well. That, Lord, we can be counted servants of you, to do the work you call us to do, just as Christ commanded. And so, Lord, allow us to love one another as you first loved us. Allow us to step out to the places where you will show us the way. Allow us to come to the people that you will bring in our paths. And may we, with all confidence, speak of the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift this fragile world. We may not be able to comprehend all that is going on. The rise in disasters, the rise in loss of lives through these disasters, through endless, needless wars. But Lord, we look forward to a day that will come and is coming when all will be made new in you. Lord, would you grant us peace upon our hearts? Would you grant world leaders patience, humility, grace and gentleness to look at the positions that not only they are in, but the power and the influence that they may be able to have? May that power be your power. May the victories that they seek be your victories. And may, Lord, they seek peace and reconciliation to bring an end to the suffering and the pain. Lord, we look closer to home and we pray for this country. We pray too for the government. We pray that your hand will be upon them. We pray that their ears would be open and their hearts would receive. Lord, would you guide? Would you speak mightily into their lives? That we too would see change and difference. That we too would see the conflicts put aside. And there would be a uniting once and for all. And Lord, we think here in this community. We think here in our church and amongst our brothers and sisters. Lord, would your hand be upon each and every one? Lord, there are many that are suffering with ill health at the moment. There are many that are needing regular hospital appointments and doctors and all kinds of medication. Lord, while that might serve its purpose well, we know we are in more need of you now than evermore. So Holy Spirit, would you just refill us, renew us, bring us about new life that we may truly see what it is to overflow in life through you. We lift those people that are on our hearts and our minds to you. Lord, in this time and in the hour of need, would you comfort them? Would you bring peace? Would you bring your love? Lord, that we may graciously go from here, knowing that we have truly encountered you, knowing that all will be well, whether this side of life or next. Father, we just praise and glorify your name. All glory be to you forever and ever. Amen. And as we close out of this service, we're reminded again of that call into that body and the unity of Christ himself to which each of us belong, that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism to your call, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you. May he shine favorably upon each and every one. May we stand now and share the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go well, go in peace. Till next week. Take care. God bless.